forlorn traveler in tattered garments clad, and struggling up the mountain, it seemed that he was sad. His back was laden heavy, his strength was almost gone, yet he shouted as he journeyed, deliverance will come. Then palms of victory, crowns of glory, palms of victory I shall wear. I saw him in the evening, the sun was sinking low. He overcome the mountain and reached the vale below. He saw the golden city, his everlasting home, and he shouted loud, Hosanna, deliverance will come. Then palms of victory, crowns of glory, palms of victory I shall wear. While gazing on that city, just o'er the narrow flood, a band of holy angels came from the throne of God. They bore him on their pinions, save for the dashing foam, and joined him in his triumph. Deliverance has come. Then palms of victory, crowns of glory, palms of victory I shall wear. It seems I hear the angels around the throne so grand. They're shouting glad Hosanna, we reached the promised land. When we have reached that city, our race on earth we run. We'll all shout loud Hosanna, deliverance has come. Then palms of victory, crowns of glory, palms of victory I shall wear.
Good to be back in here this morning in the real house of God. And I always appreciate the Lord having mercy on me, letting us come in here. It's a fearful thing to fall in the hands of a living God. And I'm always nervous when I have to stand. And I don't want to say nothing I shouldn't be saying. I want the Lord to lead me. I know we're going to give an account for every deed done in the body, whether it be good or bad. Everything we say, every idle word, everything that's spoken, we're going to give an account for. And I'm trying to seek the Lord's face about things and trying to lay aside every weight and the sin that easily besets me, to push on and fight on in that fight that the Lord set me in. I know we're not warring against flesh and blood, but against principalities of the air, against the devil, and against myself, against this old flesh. And I've been reading and studying and trying to ask the Lord to help me, especially on my job and where there's a lot of unsaved people. My heart's desire is to get to them and win them. And He's been speaking to me in different places, but this is one I just want to read and I want to share with you. And it's over in 2 Timothy 2. And trying to instruct me, I'm asking for it. And He said, but in a great house there are not only vessels, verse 20, but in the great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. And if a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. And he said, flee also youthful lusts, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. But he said, foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they do gender strifes. And I know I have, in certain times, and since I've been saved, people come to me with questions. And I always took to mind what my brothers always said. And if you don't know something, just leave it alone. don't try to answer it. And I know he's always done that. He's always said, let me go back and let me study and let me see what God has to say about it. And the people's asked things, and I try to practice that myself. And if they're unlearned, if they're foolish questions especially, not to be a partaker of those things. He said, knowing that they do gender strives. And Paul here was trying to lay out the rules and regulations that the Lord set for the church, trying to instruct Timothy, a real man here, to how to conduct himself about the Lord's business in these places. He said, make full proof of your being evangelist and make full proof of your ministry. And he said, the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, and patient. And that's one thing I've been trying to focus on when I have to deal with people at work and people that are especially the unsaved, people that that think they're religious, they're lost, they think they're saved. Dealing with them is a different way than dealing with others out on the job sites. When I go out on the construction sites and I see these little fellas, and comes to my mind that what Jesus told the Pharisees and the scribes, he told them that the harlots and the publicans, these type of people will enter in before they do. And and I see these little fellas out there and beat down with sin, and they understand that they have issues. They understand that they don't claim to be saved. They don't claim to be religious. And a lot of them, they have dope problems. They have whatever type of problems they have. They're miserable. And they just need somebody to treat them kind and speak to them in a right way. And then on the other hand, I'm struggling with others at work that are religious and lost. And you have to handle them. The Lord spoke to me and I handle them in a different manner. And but still with a heart of love. But he said that either way, the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, and patient. And that's what I'm asking for. I'm asking the Lord, give me patience. Give me understanding how to deal with these people and how not to bruise nobody and hurt nobody. A lot of times I'm overwhelmed at work with being busy. They put so much on me. And it's just I'm from the time I get there to the time I leave, I feel like I'm sinking. I know the Lord helps me. And I know he's putting me through this for a reason, to strengthen me. And I ask for it and I want it. And that's teaching me patience. And but then also when I'm out, I don't want to ever bruise nobody with the bad look on my face or a bad attitude or anything like that. I love what I'm doing. And the Lord's put that joy in my heart and that peace when I'm doing my job. And I want to help these people. But he spoke to me. He said, in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. And he said, this also know, that in the last days perilous times shall come. Men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. And that's the way. And I was preaching yesterday at my home, and the little people there, I doubt there may be, that hardly maybe one person in there may be saved, but they have never heard. Most of them have never heard. And as I'm standing and I'm trying to plow and out of a heart of love and explain to them about this type of thing and about what the TV evangelists and other preachers and so-called preachers and churches are doing and what they're saying, and then preaching to them out of the gospel and telling them. And we have, as a lot of men stand, and they know when you look on the faces, you can see in their faces that they're not accepting it, that they're struggling with it, they're bucking against it. But I'm so glad that the Lord directs the path. And yesterday, as I was standing, one little lady for since I've been there, we've been going there, I forgot exactly how long, but every time I look up and the Lord's letting me speak, she's sitting in the back. I thought her mind was bad at first, but her mind is good. And she's just sitting back there shaking her head no. And she's got a hard look on her face. And finally, the past two services, the Lord let me speak, and she stopped that. And she's sitting still, and she's listening. And I'm thankful, and prayer does that too. I want to see her saved. I want to see her born again. But the devil works in the minds, and he has spiritual wickedness in high places, and he don't want you listening. He don't want you paying attention to what God has to say. And sometimes I have to plow a little harder, but I still do it out of a heart of love. I let them know that I love them, and that's why I'm here. And I'm not thinking I'm better than nobody. And like my brothers always preach, the 99% of the church members, and that includes the Baptists too, have never had their sins forgiven. And they don't know the right hand from their left. They don't know about true salvation. We're living in a time, just like Paul said here. He said, these men, they're traitor, heady, high-minded, lover of pleasure more than lovers of God. That suits just about every person standing. Man and women shouldn't be standing, but they are standing in pulpits. And that suits just about every one of them across this nation today. They have a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. Outwardly, they appear that they are some form of a real preacher or some that God sent. But inwardly, they're denying the power thereof. They're whited sepulchers. And they're inwardly full of dead men's bones. There's nothing to them. They're empty on the inside. And some may be. I've been tuning in trying to listen to some on the radios as I'm driving around here lately. And I believe some that I've listened to have actually, that some of them do have good intentions, I believe. But like my brother always said, they're sincere, but they're sincerely wrong. And they don't really understand about the real gospel. But most of them are up there, they're trying to build up their church membership. And when they do that, they know they're going to bring in more money, and it's going to increase their salary. And Paul said, for this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women. And I looked that up. Silly is somebody that's doesn't have really any common sense. And they're laden with sins and led away with diverse lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. He said, now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith, but they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be manifest unto all men, as theirs also was. But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity. And we do, we know that by what he wrote, and we know that it's so because God gave it to him to put down. He said, patience, persecutions, afflictions, which came to me at Antioch, Iconium, Lystra, what persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. He said, but continue now in the things which thou hast learned, and be assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a little child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ. And I can attest to that one today. I've said many times, my brother too, we've had somebody that taught us from a little child that faith was instilled from faith to faith. It come down from my I believe my granddaddy was saved, and what my mom told me, things he told me, and she told me about him, and she said her mother was saved. I believe their prayers. I believe the scriptures passed down to them, and then passed down to my brother and myself and my other brothers got us in, and the prayers got us in. And it's, we're fortunate here, and I thank the Lord about that a lot when I see people and out on the job, and even little people, like I say, on the streets. As I'm driving along day by day, I look at them, and a lot of times I can see them through the eyes of the Lord. Their faces, they're on the street, but yet and they may be up to some type of mischief. I don't know, but when I look at their faces, it does something to my heart. They're just wandering about, and they have no understanding about really anything in life. They don't know what the true meaning of life is, and they go from one thing to another, trying to find some kind of peace, some kind of satisfaction, and they're looking in everywhere that the devil leads them. He's taken captive by them. They're taken captive by him at his will, and he moves them about. And thou from a child hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. And he charged them to preach the word, be instant in season, out of season. And that's what God's word is for. I'm thankful we have this word. I'm thankful that God saved me and gave me a brand new heart and changed me. and made me brand new. I told you many times when I was younger, and I got out in the world, and I thought that my mother was holding me back. The devil worked on my mind about that, and she's just trying to keep me from getting out and having a good time. And I seen what all my buddies at school were doing, and that's why I don't care much for public schools or anything to do with colleges or anything like that, because when kids get in that, your mind's already easily affected and easily taken away, and that type of thing sways you and carries you away. And as a little boy, even from that time, all my friends and others I see, they come to school and they're telling you what they're doing. They're going to the movies, they're going to concerts, they're drinking, they're doing everything in the world, that, and they make it, the devil puts it in and put it in my mind, oh, that sounds like they're having a good time, and here I am stuck at home. And we moved up to Forsyth, and I was there, and the only company I ever had was my family up until a certain point, and I always looked forward to that, but a lot of times I was lonesome. And the devil worked on my mind, and with that, and the old saying, the idle mind is the devil's workshop. And I sat around, and he worked on my mind. And the more I heard about my buddies, what they're doing, and I'm missing out, and he really affected me with that type of thing. And then when it came time, when I got big enough and old enough, and I was bigger than my mom, and my dad was blind, he never corrected us anyway as far as whippings. And but as I got older and I got big enough to get out, then I hit it full force. And I got out with all the gang and thought I was having a good time. And the devil really tore me down. Like I said before, my integrity started fading away. And the things that my mother kept me from all those years and kept me back from doing, I went full force into. But thank God that prayer was made for me. And all the things that I'd done and all the things I was engaged in, God kept me. And he didn't let me get out too far to where I died. I could have died. And I think about that a lot. When I'm praying, I thank the Lord for saving me. I owe him everything I got. If I got what I deserved, I'd be burning in hell. And that's where I should be today. But he had mercy on me. My mother's prayers caught up with us. And God got my attention and let me bottom out and let me see myself for what I was. And that was just a big nothing. And I saw myself that I was going to hell. And I said this yesterday. I hadn't thought of this before. I told you before that I had thought the Lord let this happen to me. I had thoughts constantly right before I got saved. He was trying to get my attention. And it could have been. But he had his hand on me. But everywhere I went, I started thinking somebody was going to kill me. Somebody was going to stab you. Somebody was going to shoot you. And I was out in places I shouldn't be. And it just in some places I wasn't. The Lord let that happen. But God kept dealing with me. And then I finally bottomed out. And with all my big hopes and dreams that the devil filled my mind with was gone. And I said, God, if you'll just help me get back in a regular job, I've had it with all this. I'm going back to church. And we had moved back down to Fayette County. And I got back. I wasn't saved, but he answered my prayer and my request. And he put me in a job. It wasn't but a week later, I think, I got a job. And then I went back. I got back in the church. And I started going, like I told you, first on Sunday morning. And then I started for a little while, and then I started going on Sunday night. The more I went, the better it got. God started speaking to me. I had enough of all the things I was engaged in. I was really burnt out. I had done all the things the devil instructed me to do. I followed him from pillar to post and still had no happiness on the inside. I was still empty. I was still void. I was still searching for something to satisfy me. And I got back, and I started going on Sunday night. And then then God started speaking to me even more about myself. I wasn't rebellious anymore. I was rebellious at a young age. I didn't want to hear it. But like I told you before, my mom would come in my room. When my brother come up, I loved him. But I would go the other way. I did not want to hear anything about anybody. I was finally free. I was finally having a good time. And didn't want anybody telling me, you shouldn't be doing this. Or, he never said nothing to me. But it's just his presence, with the presence of God around. You know how it is. You get convicted when you're unsaved. And it condemned me. But I didn't want to be around, and I didn't want her telling me anything. When she'd come back, she'd come back about daily, and she would come back and say, yeah, you know, if you say you're saved, and then later on she just dropped that because I didn't even say anything like that anymore. But she'd come back, and she would try to tell me. She said, you need to think about your soul, where are you going? And I would take her, and I would spin her around, and I'd walk her out the door, and I'd shut the door. And God was trying to deal with my heart then. But that's a shame, having somebody that's real, somebody that's has a spirit of God in them to speak to you, and then you push it away. But God still had mercy on me. But I started still going. I started going on Wednesday night, and then it wasn't long after that. It was about, I think, about 9 or 10 months after I started going back on September the 6th, right before the day before my birthday, as the night I was totally broke. That night I had been the whole week, and God had been dealing with me for a while, but that whole week he had really been speaking to my heart, and I was so ashamed of myself. I just let it all go, and the devil had been trying to, like others said that before, I had that same thought he put in my mind. He said, if you go down there, they're going to think you're a sissy. You go down there crying and calling out, and that was all just a bunch of garbage from the devil trying to keep me from getting down to the altar. But that night, my heart was broke. I was ashamed of myself. When I got into church, my head was down. And as my brother stood up, he started preaching about the rich man. And in hell, he lifted up his eyes after he died. And this man had everything that the world could offer. Everything. He was fared sumptuously every day. And clothed in purple, fine linen. And God had a little beggar. Somebody brought him, and God had him sent there, a little beggar, laid outside his gate, there to bring the word of God to him. And he passed over God's word, said, moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And I thought about that, and my thoughts were that, I'm not saying this is true, but my thoughts were, it said, moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. This man had no compassion on him, but even the dogs, a dumb animal, came and licked his sores. He was full of sores, laying there hungry. And this man had no time for it, no compassion, didn't want to hear anything he had to say. But when it came time for him to die, the Bible said in hell he lifted up his eyes. And as my brother preached that, my heart was already crushed, it was broke, and he gave the altar call, and I just came right down to the altar, and it wasn't what the devil had in my mind. It wasn't all the garbage that he had built up, all the fear, all the anxiety of it and everything. It was sweet. It was wonderful. My heart was broke, and I just come right down, never said nothing out loud. I didn't have to come down and tell anybody anything. I just talked out of my heart to the Lord. Everything I spoke was to him. And I don't even know if anybody even knew I was down there. But my heart was broke, and I called out on him. And I just said all the things that I had been a partaker of, all the things that I had built up, I had in my room, my whiskey bottles, my posters, my music, everything, clothes, everything that was sinful, I didn't want anymore. I'd had enough. And I said, and I meant what I said. You don't fool God. You speak to him from the heart sincerely. And he knows you. He knows everything about you. And you don't bring to him any kind of faults, anything that's not real. And I just said, God, have mercy. Don't let me die like I am. I'm sorry. I said, you can have everything. It's gone. But just have mercy. Don't let me die in this condition. I'm sorry that I've done what I've done. I'm miserable. And I felt it when he came into my heart. And all that condemnation lifted up. Like the song says, the burden of my heart rolled away. I knew something had happened to me that time. And I went back and sat down on my bench. And God started speaking to me. He said, now you get all, and not out loud like I'm talking now, but he said, you get all that garbage out of your house and go home and get rid of it. And all the old hard rock that I used to listen to, that was my life. I listened to it from the time I got up to the time I went to bed. I drove my parents crazy with it. I turned up my amplifier. I had it so loud it'd be shaking the walls of the trailer. But they didn't want me leaving, so they didn't say too much. They endured all that stupidity that I gave them. But all that stuff went, and as soon as I got home. But I never really thought about it before, but I know when I was singing, when I went home, I was singing, I won't have to cross Jordan alone. And I know the Lord had come to my mind that He gave me peace about where I was going when I died. I wasn't afraid anymore to die. All that fear was gone. And I knew that if I died, I'd be in the presence of God. I'd be in heaven. And He gave me a brand new heart, and it's been different ever since. And I can tell you today, if you're looking for something to satisfy you, you're looking in the wrong places if you're looking in things of the world, because it's not going to do anything for you. I've tried just about everything out there, and I come up empty every time. But when I got a drink out of the well of salvation, out of God's well, that the Holy Spirit came into my heart. He cleaned me up, washed me in His own blood, and made me a brand new creature in Christ. Old things did pass away. All things became new. And I spoke a little bit on this yesterday. I wanted to read this. And over in Luke chapter 5, the Bible, He tells us in several different places about this, about one born of four. And this one stuck in my heart, because in verse 15, He said, "But so much more went there a fame abroad of Him. Great multitudes came together to hear and to be healed by Him of their infirmities. And He withdrew Himself into the wilderness and prayed. And it came to pass on a certain day, as He was teaching, that there were Pharisees and doctors of the law sitting by, which were come out of every town of Galilee, Judea and Jerusalem." And I thought, that's a lot of people. That's a lot of Pharisees and doctors of the law, the scribes that came there, and they were sitting in this house in Capernaum there. And they were, come to my mind, blocking others that could have come in. The house was full. There were so many people. People could not get in because of how many people were in this house. And He said, "In the power of the Lord," it said colon, "and the power of the Lord was present to heal them." And I'm taking that to be that these people would have been listening, the Pharisees and the scribes, if they hadn't had the hardness they had in their heart towards the Lord and towards the truth. And that's what He was preaching to them and telling them the truth. But they themselves were so self-righteous, they couldn't get past themselves. And the power, regardless, the power of the Lord was still there, present to heal them. He could have changed them and made them brand new. But it was also present to heal everybody else that the Lord was healing. But He said, "Behold, men brought in a bed a man which was taken with the palsy. And they sought means to bring him in and to lay him before Him. And when they could not find by what way they might bring him in the house of the multitude, they went up upon the housetop and let him down through the tiling and his couch into the midst before Jesus. And when He saw their faith, He said unto them, 'Man, thy sins are forgiven thee.' And the scribes and the Pharisees began to reason, saying, 'Who is this that speaketh blasphemies?'" That's all they could think about. Here it was, this little man here was sick of the palsy, and they couldn't help himself. And the Lord spoke and told him, He said, "Your sins are forgiven you." He saw their faith. These people, that's what happened to us. Like my brother said before, the faith of our mother, and on my part, him and Marie and Jackie and others, Mike and others at praying, that's what their faith. God heard their cry, heard their prayer. It was bottled up, come up before Him as a memorial. And that's what got me saved. Saw their faith, dealt with me. And that's what got this little man saved. And the scribes and the Pharisees began to reason, saying, "Who is this which speaketh blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone?" And he perceived their thoughts. He answered and said unto them, he said, "What reason ye in your hearts?" He said, "Is it easier to say, 'Thy sins be forgiven thee,' or to say, 'Rise up and walk?' But he said, that you, I could say either one, and it's going to happen. He said, 'But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins.' He said to the sick of the palsy, 'I say unto thee, arise and take up thy couch and go into thy house.' And immediately he arose before them and took up that whereon he lay and departed to his own house, glorifying God. And they were all amazed and glorified God and were filled with fear, saying, 'We have seen strange things today.'" And I know that some people, you don't have to go as far as I did for the Lord to get your attention. I lost a lot of things and did a lot of things that shouldn't have happened, and went through a lot of things. And if I'd have gave God my attention to begin with, and when He dealt with me, and I could have come out a better person. And he saved me. He couldn't get any better inside, but I'm talking as far as my outward man's go. I could have, a lot of my integrity I would not have lost. ashamed myself with different things. And I look back and I'm so glad that God forgives us for those things. And I can always say that, yeah, that, and I do say, if people bring things up, yeah, I was ignorant and stupid, and I was one of the dumbest persons around, and there was a truth in front of me, and never exercised my sense or anything. My mom used to tell me all the time, you haven't got a lick of sense. You ain't got the sense you was born with. And she was exactly right, because what she had taught me when I was little, all those things, and I did when I was younger, and, you know, tried to listen, they stuck with me. But when I got older, and it's like they all went out the window, except for the fear of God. And I'm thankful today to be saved. I'm just thankful He dealt with me and gave me a place of repentance after those years. And after pushing Him off, and the church world will try to take you in and give you a false hope. I went through that myself. They got me up down at the church up there. I went with my buddies. I went to several churches, but this particular one was a Baptist church. And I really don't believe the man that was preaching was saved. And I never got convicted. I never felt anything. And I sat there and with my buddies for several years. But when I first started going, they wanted, I guess, to build up. They weren't a very big church, but wanted to build up their church membership. So they come out to me, and I always hated that, be put on the spot. That was always one of my biggest fears, was somebody coming out and try to take me down to the altar. They did that up at the church where my dad got saved. And they come to me one time there too, and I just I shook my head and my hand and said, no, thank you. But at this church, they got me down, brought me down to the altar, and put me down in front of everybody. And I was standing there, and we had prayer. And when I got up, they put me there, and they come around. The preacher was standing on one side, and somebody else was standing on the other. And they said, well, do you believe in Jesus? Everybody was standing out there watching. And I said, yes, I do. And I did. I had no doubt He was real, and that God was real. But I didn't have too much faith in what they were saying. And so they said, well, you're saved. And they started calling everybody. Everybody come down and shook my hand, and they put me on the church roll, and baptized me in Lake Lanier behind the church, and got back home, and I tried to do better for a little while, and not just a few things, not really a lot, but tried to shape up in a few areas, and it wasn't but another month or two, and I was back out in all the mess that I've always been in. And Brother Edgar said, you take an old pig and you clean him up and wash him and put a big pink bow on his tail, and as soon as you let him go, he's going back down into the mud. And that fulfills the Proverbs, like I believe it was Peter said, the sow's going to return to its wallowing in the mire and the dog to his vomit. And I was still unclean. I was still the same person. I'd always been. Nothing had changed. I was still empty. I was still void. I was still searching and seeking. And I hadn't had my sins forgiven, because I wasn't willing to give up the world at that time. But a few years later, when God got a hold of my heart and brought me, when we came back down to Fayette County, like I said, he got my attention, and it could have been a lot easier on me, but I finally turned my heart over, and I got back in the house of God, and I started listening. I started paying attention. I wasn't thinking about where I was last week, or where I'm going next week, or about anything else that the devil had my mind running on. I was trying to listen, because I needed help, and I knew I needed help. And God started speaking to me. When you sought Him with the whole heart, He'll be found of you. And I appreciate what God done for me. I'm thankful He saved all the young people He saved here, and like my brother said, revival's coming. And I'm looking for all our family, your family, and other people to get back in the house of God. Those that's left, back in the house of God. This is where everybody needs to be. And I don't say a whole lot. I try to keep quiet. I don't get in nobody's business when stuff's said anywhere. Even at work, when people talk about other people, I keep my mouth shut. I just sit there, and it goes in one ear and out the other. And if it's just a bunch of garbage, then a lot of times people say, I told you this. Remember we was talking about this? I said, I don't even remember you saying anything. I'm sorry, because it's just a bunch of garbage. And I don't tell them that. I just don't remember them. I said, I don't remember it being said. But I'm saying this because everybody that has left needs to be back in where their calling is, back into a real house of God. And I'm so thankful. My mother had me in church from the time I was little. When Brother Bagley, I guess, was trying to do what he should be, I remember those things. I couldn't have been more than 3 or 4 years old from some of the things she told me, and those stuck in my mind. The songs that we sang stuck in my mind because I hadn't heard them since then. Some of those songs, and then it's just that the everything that God spoke to me about when the presence of God is there. It's the little children they keep that in their memory. And it's like Brother Roloff was talking about. They asked about having a young people's program and this and that. And you don't need a young people's programs. There's so much garbage that happens and those type of things. You got your young youth ministers and all that type of thing. People go into that, and you got to watch your kids around that type of thing because people are not really watching their kids like they should be. They let them go off and do things. And my children, kids they went to elementary school with, you would be shocked at the amount of those children that turned out to be homosexuals and lesbians. I couldn't believe it. There was so many of them, but their parents let them go off and go to other places and other people's houses and let them do things they shouldn't be doing. And it's good to, like my brothers always preach that, and all of us have got so much good advice over the years from my brother, and I got from my mother. She was wise about those things too. And that's why she didn't let me run and go places and do things with other people. And keep your children close to you and get them in the house of God. They need to be here every time we have service, and that they might be able to hear and keep that inside their hearts, because God deals with the little ones too. I know he dealt with me. I know he dealt with my boy there when he was young. And I still remember that. We were upstairs, and he couldn't have been more than 5 or 6 years old, but he was crying. And he was talking about dying and going to hell. And I sat there and I listened to him. And I prayed and asked the Lord to help him, give him more understanding. And he was telling me, he out of his heart, he wanted to be saved. And my others, they know the difference. And yours do too, because they've been here. But it's important to get your kids in here and keep them in here every service, so that God, when the time comes, he can speak to their heart. And they can keep that inside their little hearts. And they'll have something to come back to. I certainly did, and I'm thankful that I had somebody that did keep me and kept me down as long as she could and kept me away from the worldly things. And the world don't have anything for you. The devil wants to kill you. He's trying to do everything he can, and because of prayer, that's the only reason a lot of people have survived. I went by, and I had been thinking about it for months, going by and seeing Kenny. And I went by the other day, and he told me as we was talking, I felt good in my heart as we was speaking. And he knows the church loves him, but he told me, he said if it wasn't for you, he called him my daddy. Sometimes he don't think, but he said, if it wasn't for your daddy, he said, I wouldn't be here today. And he said, I know when he came to that hospital, he prayed, the Lord got me up again. And that's absolutely right. And the devil's trying to kill everybody he can, but I thank God that the Lord has those in store and uses people with their prayers to keep the others from dying when they could have. And many others, people in my work, different times they've had bad things happen, and some of them to get their attention, and some of them because different things. And I'm not saying I'm anything, but I did ask the church, and I know the Lord gave me prayer for them. And different things happened to people, and the Lord spared them and has kept them around and kept their family members around. And I'm looking for him to save them real soon. But I appreciate what the Lord's done for me, for saving me. And I can't thank him enough. And I know I'm a big nothing. I don't ever declare myself to be anything. And the more I say it, I don't want to be anything. And I want just to be. My brother always said that he was the skin under the foot. And when I talk about myself being nothing, a big old nothing, I want to stay that way and just be what he wants me to be and be well known to him and unknown to the world, it does something to my heart. And I don't want ever my mind to be puffed up in any way towards anybody. That's whether they're drug addicts, whether they're drunks, whether they're harlots or anybody with any kind of issues or any kind of problems. I want my heart to stay in a constant state of prayer for them and look upon them out of a heart of love through the eyes of the Lord, because he did die for everybody. He died for the sins of the entire world, and that's no matter whether you're black, white, Hispanic, Russian, whatever nationality anybody is, he died for the sins of the entire world. And I'm so thankful that me being the least of everybody, that's what I consider myself, a big old nothing, he had mercy on me and called me at a time when I really needed it, and opened up the door of the church for me, the real church, and let me come in, gave me a place of repentance. And I just did what he asked, and that was to pour out my heart and come to him just like I was. And I just got real about myself. And I was thinking too about Billie Jean, and I know God put on my heart for her several years now. I went and seen her when she was in the hospital, and right before she died, that was the first time I ever had been alone with her, and God opened up my heart and my mouth, and I told her, I said, and I gave her my testimony. I said, I went to a church and I thought I was saved, and I thought that that they had what they had given me was good enough to get me to heaven. But God showed me myself that a church membership can't do it. And I've been praying God to give me prayer. And I had real compassion in my heart. And I told her that, and I spoke to her, and she listened. And I told her, I said, you know, I said, I'm not, and I told tell others this, I said, I'm telling you because I love you, and I want to see you in heaven. And I know the Lord did something. I told others that at homes. I told them the same thing. I try to be gentle. I'm not going to go in and beat them down, but I'm going to tell them I love you, and this is the reason when I feel pressed. This is why I'm telling you, because I want to see you in heaven. That's what I tell the little people at the homes. I'm not here to beat you down. I'm not here to destroy you. I'm not here to do anything other than to bring the gospel, because I want to see you in heaven. And that heart of love, you can't hide love. And when the people feel love and they know that you're really sincerely caring for them, people are more apt to listen and pay attention. And I know when God speaks to their heart, and because of prayer, he'll change the situation and open up their hearts and minds and give them that place of repentance. And I guarantee you, when you really get saved, when you really get born again, there's no hiding it. There's no doubt about it. You know that you pass from death into life. I knew the instant I got saved, because when I got up off my knees for the first time in all those years, I wasn't counterfeited. I had peace in my heart. I had joy. And all the music that I listened to, the other things I was engaged in, I had no desire for them. It was gone. I went back to work, and some of my buddies, you know, I told them, they called me, hey, we're going so-and-so Friday. I said, no, I'm not going there no more. And they said, what? And I said, yeah, I got saved. They said, yeah, right. And they started laughing, because I was such an idiot and a clown. They thought I was kidding. I said, no. I said, I got saved. I won't be going in there no more. And as time went on, they called me less and less. And I'm still praying for them. But the guys at work couldn't believe it. And then I've told this before. I had taken all my stuff and I threw it in the dumpster out back. All my clothes, my CDs at the time were big, and tapes. And then they come a few days later. I guess they thought about it. They come to me and they said, what'd you do with all your tapes and stuff? I said, I threw them in that dump back there, the dumpster. And every one of them, there was about 15 guys. They all started going that way. I said, they're gone. It was 3 days ago. And they said, well, you should have told us. I said, no, I'm not passing that junk off on nobody. But God had mercy on me and changed me. My desires were completely changed. I no longer desired that anything like that at all. My desire was to pray and to study, and I couldn't get my nose out of the Bible. I took my Bible everywhere, and every second I had my nose in the Word of God. And that's what I said when my daughters, when they got saved, that's what I was looking for. And I wasn't about to tell them, you're saved. I don't want them dying going to hell. Lord, my brother said the same thing. And when they got a religious experience, but I wasn't going to say anything until I knew. And I started seeing little boxes sitting outside their door with all their garbage in it. And then I started feeling that God had done something. He started moving on my heart. And I knew that something was different. And then I knew they were saved. And then I could acknowledge it. But I'm not going to tell anybody. That's the way it is at the homes. I don't call anybody at work. People call me brother all the time. But if I don't know that they're saved, I'm not going to call them a brother or a sister. I'll be very respectful, and it makes me nervous when they do that. And I try my best to humble down in my mind, in my heart, humble down and think of how I can get around this without hurting their feelings. And in every situation, humble myself down and don't hurt them. Be apt to teach, be patient, and be long-suffering. And always think about their welfare. My brother's preached that for years, and that's exactly what needs to be done from somebody that's born again. Think about that other person's welfare, because they can't help themselves, and they need some real example to help them. And I don't ever bruise nobody, and I'm trying to pray for more of that, more understanding, more patience, more wisdom, not to how to make more money and how to move myself up in the company. I could care less about moving up. The guys I work with talk about that all the time. They're worried about making more money. They're worried about moving up. They're wondering what they're going to do when they retire. But that's not my desire at all. My desire is for God to give me understanding and wisdom how to conduct myself in a godly manner and be able to speak to them every day, even though so much is going on. And God's given me the patience. But I try to slow down because I have to speak when I can. And I don't want to leave somebody out when I'm supposed to be there to speak to somebody. And I'm stumbling on my words. It's hard to explain, but going from one place to another, it's just busy all day long. I got so much on me, and I got guys under me that talk for 2 hours before they go out and do anything. So I'm doing their part and doing mine. But I don't want to bruise them either, so I try to do what I can and talk to them in a good way. But what I'm saying is I don't want to leave nobody out. If I'm supposed to be in a certain place and I don't want to be too busy to leave this guy or shake this person's hand or get away from them, if it's meant for me to stand there and speak to them a few minutes and talk to them, because they all need help. And we're in dark times, and there's hardly nobody out there that's really preaching the gospel. And we're not the only ones here. There are some others, but there's not many. And the Lord's coming back real soon. And I believe that. And I want to see everybody in here and all your families and everybody you're praying for to get their sins forgiven. And that's what God saved us for, not to sit down and just do nothing, but to get out there and labor and pray and study and to show ourselves approved, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And that's what I want. I want to carry them the gospel. That's the only thing that can help them. When you're really seeking and you're searching, and God will make himself known to you. And it's not what, like I said, it's not what the devil works up in your mind and putting all types of fears about it on you. But when you submit yourself and God's trying to speak to you, if you just humble yourself and let, all you have to do is humble your heart and come down. Or wherever he gets, wherever he's speaking to you, if it's a home or wherever, humble yourself and get down in prayer and let him hear your cry, and he'll do all the rest. It's an easy transition once your heart's broke, because he does all the work. He changes you and makes you brand new. It ain't some emotional experience. This is something that the Holy Spirit, and it's real and it's alive. And he changes you, makes you a brand new creature on the inside, and puts his spirit inside of you and starts speaking to you right away. He did me. I knew I'd pass from death into life. And he started speaking to me, and the joy I felt and the peace. And he instructed me in what to do. And tried to do those things. And it just was better every time I did. But I appreciate y'all, and I love you. And y'all keep praying for me. And keep praying for those people I work with. And put them in your prayers too, please. And all the kids throughout the county. It's a bad situation. There's a lot of kids that are trying to do what's right, trying to get their education, trying to do good. But then there's some kids that they've just been abandoned. Their parents don't teach them anything. They take up for their wrongs. If they come in, they catch them on camera. The parents come in fuss, say, that ain't my child. What are you doing to my child? Why are you blaming them for this? And they got them right on camera. And I know this because we have to work with that stuff, and I know what the guys tell me. They're just setting them up for failure, not making them take responsibility for what they're doing, and not getting on to them and chastising and whipping their children. Nobody hardly does that anymore. But remember these kids, because they need some kind of guidance. They need somebody to tell them, and I'm hoping the Lord, I try to speak to them, and a lot of them don't, they're unsure of me, or that maybe they're around their crowds or whatever the situation is. I look at them and I wave, and then they wait to see if I'm sincere, and I just keep waving, I smile, and they'll finally put their hand up and have a little smile most of the time, most of them. The little ones are a lot better, and that they're always anxious to see somebody and somebody to be kind to them. But as they get older, they get hardened and around others and doing things, and their conscience gets condemned, and they hardened on their face, and it takes a lot to get through to them. But I want to see them saved. I don't care what they've done or who they are. I want to see them get their sins forgiven, and that's what the Lord saved me for. And that's what he's put in my heart. But I love y'all, and I appreciate y'all, and thank you.